And if you have a copy of the scriptures with you, please turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, I'm sure you know, has been called the greatest chapter, at least in terms of the book of Romans, but arguably the greatest chapter in the Bible. It was certainly written by the Apostle Paul, even though there are no chapter divisions in the original. But this chapter, more than any of the other chapters, really does want to encourage us in terms of living the Christian life and be certain that what Christ has accomplished for us will be applied and enjoyed by us. But here in Romans chapter 8, I simply want to read the introductory verse. And notice it starts off with a therefore, so that means we have to look back in terms of what he's already said. Paul hasn't forgotten what he just said in terms of Romans 7, but even further back in terms of Romans 1, 2, 3, and following. But here in Romans 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that word condemn comes from the Greek word krino. What does that mean? Well, it's where we get our English word critic. You know that word. You've heard of a film critic. They make an analysis, an evaluation of a particular film or movie. They end up rating movies and tell you whether it's a success or a flop. And sometimes the critic will give it a 5-star, maybe 2 stars, a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Well, God is the moral critic of the human race. He analyzes all human behavior, every human heart, and he determines whether we measure up to his standard of holiness. And that standard is captured by his law, which is written on our hearts, Romans 2, but it's also written on those 2 tablets of stone. And God's law functions like a CAT scan. And guess what? No one comes out looking good. And here's the problem. Nobody keeps God's law. And that's why everybody who's been born, everyone who's lived on planet Earth, we all come under this awful sentence of condemnation, Jew and Gentile. And in those 3 chapters, especially those first 3 chapters of Romans, Paul has been spending a lot of time, hasn't he? Like a prosecuting attorney, showing us that we are all guilty. Doesn't matter who we are. Doesn't matter whether we're religious or irreligious. Doesn't matter if we're Jew or Gentile, men or women, boys or girls. We are all unrighteous and condemned. Romans 3, none is righteous. No, not one. No one seeks after God. No one understands. All have turned aside. No one does good, not even one. And that word condemnation applies not only to a present sentence and punishment in view, but also a future judgment. It's like a dilapidated, rundown building in your neighborhood, and you see it's all boarded up, and maybe there's this yellow tape nailed to the fence post, and there are big black letters, maybe big red letters, condemned. And you know that that house is going to come down, perhaps in a few days, a few weeks. And every sinner is condemned. That means you're going to a place of ultimate destruction. A forever judgment. A forever jail sentence. You never get out. That's bad news. But the text in front of us is a good news text. And one word can make all the difference. One word can change everything. And if you had a Greek Bible, I'm not trying to impress you here by my knowledge of Greek, because my knowledge of Greek is not what it once was. But anyways, if you had a Greek Bible and you were trying to translate it word for word, you would find that it's very different from your English translation. The very first word in the original Greek is the word no. No. Paul puts that at the very front of the sentence. It's what you would call an emphatic no. It's an explosive word. It sort of leaps off the page. And if the Apostle Paul had access to a computer, he would have put this word no in big block letters or in bold print or underlined it or highlighted it in red or yellow. No. Now, typically, we don't like no's, right? I've never heard a child or a young person come up to me. I like the fact my mom or dad said no. No means restriction. No means not able to do what I want to do. And often what I want to do is sinful. And you probably know that God's law, the Ten Commandments, are to a large degree shaped by negatives. No, 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 no. You could call it the no's of the law. But this is a positive no. This is a gospel no. This is a wonderful no. This is a glorious no. You might call it a beautiful no. There's no better no than this. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, look at that word no. No condemnation. What a statement. No is a little word of two letters, but he says, very few understand its full meaning. It is entire. It is complete. It is absolute. In other words, Paul is saying that a Christian is a person who has been taken entirely out of the realm of condemnation and punishment. He has nothing to do with condemnation, absolutely nothing to place him or her in a place of condemnation. Once you were in a state of condemnation, but now you are in a state of no condemnation, and it is a forever state. Nothing can change that state. Nothing can bring you out of that state. But I thought you said everybody's condemned. I did. And it's true. By birth we are all under divine wrath. We're all lawbreakers. But listen, God does something to change that awful state of condemnation. But how in the world can a sinner who is condemned by Almighty, perfect, holy God, how can he ever get out of that state of condemnation? Well, he goes on to explain that here. But before he gives us the reason why, notice another word that he uses here. Paul brings this no condemnation into the world of today. It's a present reality. Now. Right now. He doesn't say, you're no longer condemned until you get out of Romans 7. Romans 7 is about a real struggle, isn't it? With sin. He doesn't say you're no longer condemned, or not now, until you have complete victory over sin. Once you are in a state of no condemnation, it's a forever state. But again, how is that possible? Well, he uses two words that really change everything. Look at the text. In Christ. You have to be in Christ. So how do you get into Christ? Well, there's only one way you get into Christ. That's by faith. Faith is a receptive grace. Faith simply means you receive. You don't earn anything by faith. It's a receptive grace. You receive Christ, and if Christ is yours, everything that Christ promises is yours. That means his perfect righteousness is yours. That means that pardon that he secured on Calvary is yours. That means that once for all justification is yours. And we could have sung that hymn by Charles Wesley, which begins, "No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head, clothed in righteousness divine." If you're a Christian, you probably have a regular struggle with discouragement, disappointment, defeat, right? You never get out of Romans 7. And Romans 7 is not a real nice chapter. I mean, in a sense, it's a struggle galore with sin. But every Christian regularly struggles with discouragement, defeat, disappointment, even depression. Maybe you came here under a cloud of depression. Maybe even tempted to throw in the towel and go back to the world in that old way of life. Maybe the devil whispers in your ears. He does that quite frequently, I believe, ad nauseum. Has God said? Has God said? Is this all true? Is it all really true? And he tries to put doubts into our mind, big time doubts and fears about God and our state with God. Well, the Apostle Paul wants us to make good use of this sledgehammer. It's a sledgehammer of certainty and absolute finality. In one sense, if you're a Christian, you have nothing to worry about when it comes to your future. I'm not thinking of your near future in terms of retirement, your ultimate future. If you are one who's taken hold of Christ by faith, you have been declared righteous by God. All your sins are forgiven. That's part of who you are. This is your identity. You are a having been justified person. A having been justified person. That means when you came to church today, you could say, now, no condemnation. When you leave the church, you can say the same. When you get up in the morning, you can say the same. Doesn't matter how bad your days are, how big a struggle you have with sin, now no condemnation. That's true on your best days. That's true on the worst of days. That will be true on your dying day. No condemnation. And it's all because he took your place. In my place, he stood. He suffered what I deserved to suffer, which is eternal wrath and judgment. What a wonderful thought when you come to a table like this. Now, right now, no condemnation. Now and never will be. Thank you, Jesus. My dearest friend, for dying for me.